Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode 202. Sorry, I'm late. Better late than never, I'm here. So, tonight, oh my goodness gracious, Massachusetts, Boston, Rob Font, Cody Garbrandt, this weekend, I am pumped. I am absolutely pumped. I was so excited. I was so excited for the Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar fight. And, you know, obviously Calvin Kattar came up short there. He got, you know, he lost. Max Holloway dominated him. That was one of the probably most lopsided fights we've seen in some time. But shout out to Calvin Kattar, though. He's going to come back. He's going to come back big in his next one. Max Holloway is one of the all-time greats, so you can't really put too much dim on his shine, you know, from that one, in my opinion. But anyways, Rob Font, Cody Garbrandt, or I should say Cody Garbrandt, Rob Font. I feel like Garbrandt, if you ask me, is probably the A side in this fight. This is going to go down this weekend. I'm not sure where it's at. Maybe at the Apex. Probably Apex Vegas. Not really sure. But either way, I'm pumped for this fight. I'm very excited. You know, just as excited I was last time out. And then, you know, he really shocked me. He really shocked me stopping Marlon Moraes. I was excited that time. And he shocked me with that one. I thought he would beat him. I knew he could beat him, but I just didn't know it was going to go down the way it did. I didn't know it was going to be like that. I don't remember what my prediction was, but I feel like I was wrong. I feel like he did it even faster. I feel like he stopped him even faster than what I had initially predicted. But anyways, though, we're going to get into it. What's up, Lee?
Yo, what up, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, bro. Did you hear what I was just talking about?
Yeah, I hear your excitement about your Massachusetts guy, Rob Font, taking on Garbrandt this weekend.
Yeah, man, there's nothing really else to talk about at this point. There's nothing really else to talk about for me. That's the fight that's on my mind right now. There's really nothing else to talk about for me because this weekend I'm going to lock in for that one the same way I'm going to lock in. The same way I would lock in for a pay-per-view card, I'm going to be locked in for that card just because I'm so excited for that fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even saying that the whole card is spectacular. It's just that fight. So I'm going to be just as locked in as if it was one of these big blockbuster cards they've been putting on this year just because, you know, hometown boy, hometown man, a guy from, you know, around the way is going to fight a former world champion. So, and if anybody is thinking about watching parody fights this weekend, definitely don't watch the parody fights this weekend. What you want to watch is the Ultimate Fighting Championship live from the UFC Apex or live from Vegas. Or live from Abu Dhabi or wherever they're at this point, or maybe even Houston. They might even be in Houston, but that's the one you want to watch. You don't want to watch the parody fights. You want to watch real fights. And a guy from Massachusetts is fighting. So if you're from Massachusetts and not going to tune into this fight, I'm looking at you sideways, dog. I'm looking at you sideways right now. I'm not really understanding it. Y'all out here, you know, watching guys that, left their hometown for South Beach. You know what I'm saying? You got guys that left the squad. And you guys are going to watch them, you know, play for the other team. I won't name any names, but you're not going to watch an actual hometown guy who's right there knocking at the gates. You know what I'm saying? You guys are watching all these other fighters coming out of California and everything else and parody boxing. You know, the YouTubers and such. But you're not going to watch a guy from down the way. So put some respect on it. Watch my boy Cody Garbrandt this weekend. That's what you need to do.
Man, you very, 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 very excited, boy. So I sure hope for your sake, I sure hope Rob Font wins. Because I think you'll be super dejected next Wednesday if he doesn't.
Man, he's going to win.
Okay.
He's going to win. There's no doubt in my mind. You know why I know that? This is why I know that. And this, and I don't know if he's the favorite for this fight. He might be the favorite. He might not be. I'm not sure. But
Rob Font is the favorite.
Is he the favorite?
Actually, it might as well be a pick 'em. It's -115 to -105.
Oh, Font's a -115.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool with me. But the reason why I feel like he wins is that unless Cody could really bring back that old feel, that he.
Ain't we gonna predict this fight later?
Yeah, we're gonna predict it. But I just gotta get my rocks off real quick, and I'm gonna get them off later too. But I have, and you know what? Check me out. I haven't even ate dinner yet. and you know how many shows that you told me, Keys, did you eat dinner yet? Because there's been some bad showings from me, you know, on my behalf when I hadn't ate dinner yet, and I was feeling a little, you know, my performance was a little lackluster. So, you know, but this time's a different one. But yeah, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into the predictions for sure. We're gonna get into them. But yeah, what I want to ask you about off the top is this. We're gonna get back to the predictions later for anybody listening. We're gonna get back to the fight night predictions later in the card. Later in the show. But this is what I want to ask you about, because I was just reading this on Instagram and it's getting crazy. So for anybody listening, this is what happened. This is what happened. Actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you what happened. So since you – I was going to explain it, but in the sport of boxing, all right, and everybody – and just to know, we're talking about the sport of boxing, and I got to go to you with this one. You got to explain to me what's going on, man. I'm not understanding. I'm reading the back and forth. They're going crazy. Anthony Joshua is saying, you know, he's going to slap Tyson Fury's bald head and he'll do nothing. I just read that comment online. He said he's going to slap his bald head. Fury said he'll do nothing. Fury said he's going to smoke Wilder again and then smoke Joshua after that. So it's heating up online, man. They're getting crazy. Anthony Joshua seems really set off by the fact that this has kind of gone the wrong way. Can you explain to the people what's going on right now in the sport of boxing?
All right, for those that don't know, Fury and Wilder had an agreement to have a third fight. But Fury wanted to fight Anthony Joshua instead of Deontay Wilder, which I can understand. You know, unifying the belts, you know, having one world heavyweight champion. And that's the fight that people really clamoring for right now, especially after the way Wilder looked against Fury. So this week, the arbitrator came out and said Fury must fight Wilder by September 15th, meaning that the August fight between Joshua and Fury most likely isn't going to happen. I think the fight still can happen. Basically, what you have to do is you have to negotiate basically a buyout for Wilder. And I think, personally, Wilder should wait to fight the winner of Fury and Joshua, because that's a bigger fight, because it's going to be for all the belts. So, and the way Wilder looked in that fight against Fury, I think he needs to add more to his game instead of relying solely on his right hand. I think Joshua and Fury are doing the right thing as far as, as far as amping up the fight, hyping up the fight. Whether or not Joshua is going to do all that, I don't know. If they do fight, I would probably go with Fury. I just think he's a better boxer than Joshua. But, hey, it's good to be that we're talking about heavyweight boxers and boxing. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But I think Wilder should step aside, let Fury and Joshua go at it. And if they do pay him to step aside, his payout should be, I'm going to step aside for this fight, but I get the winner of Fury and Joshua. So, but we'll see how it goes with boxing, man. You never know with boxing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, it's pretty crazy. I'm actually going to pull up what they just said right here. I'm going to pull up what I was just reading, because the Mac Life posted it. I actually want to read this to the people right here if you didn't see it. So this is what they said. So there was the first. Okay, so this is the first one. So they said, so Anthony Joshua says, Tyson Fury, the world now sees you for the fraud you are. You let boxing down. You lied to the fans and led them on. Use my name for clout and not a fight. Bring me any championship fighter who can handle their business correctly. That's what Joshua said. And then he said, he followed up with this. He said, if there was an arbitration going on, why announce to the world we are fighting? The fight was signed, undisputed. And then he said, bare knuckle, I don't know what that was relating to, but bare knuckle, you're a good kid. Don't play with me, Luke. I'll slap your bald head and you'll do nothing, waste man. He called him a waste man.
First of all, Joshua, that could have been an arbitration going on behind the scenes, or that could have been an arbitration that Fury knew about. But how will Fury know what the outcome going to be? So, and probably Fury thought that the outcome would probably be in his favor, being that he's a champion. So all this stuff about him being a fraud and all that, that's just fight talk. That's bullshit. Excuse my French. But, man, Joshua was just trying to make himself look like the bigger man in this. And basically, I guarantee you, he's going to try to use this if they have to renegotiate the fight deal. But I don't blame Fury for this. I blame the way Boxer operates for this. And Anthony Joshua and what's his, Teddy Hearn or whatever his name is.
Eddie Hearn.
They know how boxing is, so you can't hold this against Tyson Fury, man. There's been plenty of fights that boxing have made because of a mandatory contender. Just like this guy that Canelo fought two fights ago. I can't even tell you the guy's name, but the guy looked outclassed from the time the bell rang. He shouldn't even have been in the same ring as Canelo. But guess what? Boxing said that was his next mandatory contender. So, man, that's just the way boxing operate. Joshua with a tough talk, I'm not buying it. So we'll see what happens.
And just to finish that off, Fury had responded when he said that after Joshua calls him a waste man. Fury goes, not going into the details online. You'll slap me about, will you? I don't really understand. He said, you'll slap me about, will you, Dossa? Please come and try, bum. I'm waiting. He said, I don't know what that means. He called him a bottle job, 24/7, 365, ready. I'll smoke Wilder first, then you will get yours as well. So, I don't know, man. These guys are going crazy right now. And then Fury comes out. I forgot about this one. I should have read this one for the people because there's been so many tweets, and this is what happened before. You had so many tweets when we were talking about the UFC welterweight division. All those guys were sitting there tweeting, and no fights were getting made. So I hope this doesn't cause it to be a whole bunch of tweeting and no fights. That's what I'm hoping doesn't happen, that some politics get in it. And now you have to wait like another year or 2 years to get the Fury and Joshua fight. And then maybe they don't even get the third Wilder fight done because there'll be some kind of like money like issue with the purse or something. I could just see something like that happening, you know, and then it'll just end up a whole bunch of guys tweeting each other, talking trash, and no bouts. So I just hope it doesn't happen like that.
Well, I think the fight will happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think the fight happens. We shall see. But I like Joshua trying to take the tough guy talk lead by calling out Fury. But there are more people that like Fury than Anthony Joshua. So, and I tend to lean towards believing Fury more than I would say I believe Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua. So.
And so this is one thing that I'm going to get to. So we could kind of pan off from that and this is one thing that I kind of want to lean into with that. Now, being the fact that this whole situation has changed, you know, that whole situation has changed because of the fact that with these boxing organizations, and this is something they do that I actually kind of like, and I wouldn't mind seeing the UFC adopt this kind of thing. You know, the fact that you have, you know, these arbitrations and which end up with, okay, this is the mandatory challenger. You have to, defend against this guy by this date. You have to. Like, you can't take another fight. You know, so I would like to see, me personally, I would like to see that happen in the UFC. Will they ever do it? Probably not. I don't know. Probably not, though. I would lean towards no, but I would like to see it just because there's less leagues. There's only one UFC. There's no organization. You know, you don't have WBC, IBO, WBA, and NBA and NFL, whatever these leagues are. And you wouldn't have 10 different ones, and you would actually see the true fights that were meant to happen. You know, a lot of these fights that guys end up fighting the number 10 guy, you know, defending their belt instead of fighting the number one contender. You know, so I think that would kind of be a good thing for the UFC if they were to implement something like that. What do you think?
I think the reason boxing does that is because that's one of their ways of eliminating promoters. Because promoters sometimes stand in the way of fights happening. So when the arbitrator or the boxing body says that this person is a mandatory contender, they get them, I want to say, like 10 days to negotiate the deal of the fight, or they intervene. So that's one of the ways that they kind of strip the power from the promoters. The UFC is their own promoter, and basically they make their own fights. So you'll never see nothing like that in the UFC because they sole promoter.
All right. So, and my next thing is this. Did you see that? So yeah, we may never see that in UFC. It is what it is. But I wanted to ask you about this, and I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Dana White at the press conference the other day when he was at, it was at the UFC 262 press conference? And by the way, yes, to anyone listening and to you, bro, we are going to talk about UFC 252. We're going to recap that probably right after this or shortly after this. But I just want to ask you this. So at the UFC 262 post-fight press conference, Dana White was asked about, when he was taking questions from the media, he was asked about, you know, some guy said, did you block a fight? They said they heard that Dana White blocked a fight, a potential fight between, and don't laugh. This is, I guess, was really something. They said, did you block a potential fight between Oscar De La Hoya, a boxing fight between Oscar De La Hoya and George St. Pierre? So they asked that, and I guess maybe Triller or one of these other parody boxing or parody fight companies was asking for it, or Golden Boy, I don't know who was asking for it, but they asked him that, and Dana White was like, I don't take calls from those guys. He was like, that guy literally calls me every single day and texts me every day and says, why aren't you answering my calls? Why won't you talk to me? And know what Dana White said? We don't usually swear on the show, but I got to say it. Dana White told the media, he said, because I don't give a fuck about you. He said, I don't give a F about you. That's what he said. He said, I don't care what those guys are doing. I don't know what they're trying to put on. I don't know what they're trying to build. Is it an MMA league? Is it a boxing league? I don't know what's going on. Do they have fighters? Are they trying to actually do something? He's like, I don't know. And honestly, I don't. It almost seemed like he did all but say he just doesn't take them serious. You know, but he was definitely stern that he does not care about them, does not want to talk to those guys. You know what I'm saying? And he said, what do I have to do with it? Did you see this press conference?
Nah, but I understand what Dana's saying, though. And I know anything that has to do with Oscar De La Hoya, Dana White is not going to touch. He don't want to give it his energy because I think Dana is still bitter with Oscar De La Hoya for putting on that Chuck Liddell-Tito Ortiz fight. I think that's going to be something that Dana will never, ever get over. He will never do business with Oscar De La Hoya. And in a way, I don't blame him. And plus, there's bad blood between him and Oscar De La Hoya. As far as doing business with Triller, you know, he did let Askren go out and fight He did let that happen. So I think he's willing to do business with Triller. I just don't think he's willing to do business with Triller when it comes to Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know, because I feel like with Ben Askren, I don't know where that's at as far as contracts, Ben Askren's contract or GSP's contract. I don't know where they're at with that, if the UFC still, you know, has some kind of rights to their, like, to those fighters, or, you know, they're both quote-unquote retired, but I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell with a lot of these guys. But, yeah, I just thought that was funny. You know, any Dana White take on Oscar De La Hoya is hilarious. And I'm going to have to send you that clip because that was funny, man. He went off on the both of those guys for a good 5 minutes. And if he was okay with doing business with Triller before, it definitely does not seem like he's interested in doing business with Triller now, because when I send you the video, you're going to say, I don't think he's going to be speaking to these people anytime soon.
Yeah. I think as long as GSP and Askren have fights on their current contract, they still under contract with the UFC. And I know Askren does, because he only would have had 3 fights in the UFC, maybe 2 fights. He had 3 fights, right? He fought Masvidal.
Yeah.
He fought Mahler.
Yeah. Yeah. He fought Maya too, Damian Maya.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he has 3 fights. So I'm quite sure he had more than a 3-fight deal with the UFC.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that's the thing now is that UFC 262, right? We're just going to hit the ground running with that transition right there. We're going right into it strongly, right? UFC 262, new lightweight champion, 155 pounds. We got to talk about the main event. Now, this is what I'm going to ask you. So our boy Evan's not here tonight to debate with you about this. It would have been some good content. Maybe we'll have to run this back and get this topic going when Evan's back on the next show. On our next show, but I'm going to ask you, though. So you were saying early on that Michael Chandler was a first-round fighter, and you said after the first round, you can actually almost see him thinking too much about the fight when it goes into the second, third, fourth, or fifth round. And you thought that if he couldn't get it done in the first round, he was going to lose. And he lost in the second round. So in the first round, it was actually, no, I'm going to just send it to you. What did we see happen in that fight?
I think me and you disagree on this during the fight on our group chat. You felt that the referee probably could have stopped it when Chandler started pounding on Oliveira. But I thought Oliveira did a good job of scrambling, really not taking shots flush. I think the referee kind of sort of knew the moment and the gravity of the fight, so he let it go a little longer, which I'm glad he did instead of stopping it. But I thought Chandler looked really, really good in the first round. But he always looked really, really good in the first round. I thought Oliveira did some good things. Especially like in the first round where he went for the submission and, you know, he had Chandler in like a good position or whatever. But I thought the first round, I kind of gave that to Chandler slightly. I gave it to Chandler because Oliveira did control some of the first round when he was going for those, going for the takedown, when he got the takedown, got his back. But I just, when I watched Chandler fight, man, and like I told you, when I had read about some writers, when they was writing about him coming to the UFC, and at least 3 of the writers I had read, that I read pieces on about him, said Chandler struggles after the first round. And I was like, damn. So I went back and watched his fights, and they was true. If you look at how he came out in the second round against Oliveira, after he had a pretty much a good first round, he didn't know what to do to start the second round. He didn't know whether or not to stand up, go for a takedown, and he just stood right in front of Oliveira, which was kind of like shocking to me. I was like, well, you know you don't want to take him down after the first round. You know you don't want to take him down because his jiu-jitsu is awesome. So I was shocked that Oliveira got it done in the second round. I thought he would probably get it done more towards the third or fourth round if he was to beat him by knockout. But Chandler has to become a guy that trains for five-round fights. You have to have a game plan for a five-round fight or a three-round fight, depending on where you're at on the card. I think he's going to be a main event guy, so I think he needs to start training for five-round fights. You can't train as if you're going to win every fight in the first round because the UFC is the best of the best. You're not going to beat Tony Ferguson in the first round. You're not going to beat Dustin Poirier in the first round. You're not going to beat Conor McGregor in the first round unless you catch them with shots. You got to catch them with shots. But to me, I fault his training. I don't fault him. Well, I fault him too because he's the fighter. You can't train as if you're going to end every fight in the first round. And I thought Oliveira did a good job of weathering the storm and coming out and doing what he did by knocking him out. And congratulations, Charles Oliveira.
Yeah. Definitely congratulations to Charles. He had a great
performance. What did you see, bro?
Thank you for asking. I was just going to continue on from there, but I will tell you what I saw. So what I saw was this. You know, while I agree with your stance that Chandler needs to, he can't just rely on, he can't be like more of a three-round fighter and just expect that like, oh, I might have to fight one or two rounds, you know, and if I can't get it done there, you know, because he's going to be a title fight guy. Like, he's going to always be, he's most likely always going to be, you know, a top five, top ten guy, you know, at least for the next couple of years. He is a high-level fighter. I mean, and one thing I will say is Oliveira was getting boxed up so bad in that fight, and he needs to fix his boxing and his chin. So his chin got touched a couple times, and I feel like depending on who the ref was, that fight might have got stopped in the first round. Like if you had, you know, the same ref who ref the Cejudo and Cruz fight, I think he would have stopped that. When Chandler was he put a couple of shots on Oliveira when he had already dropped him, I think once, or I think it was the second time he dropped him, and he was clearly hurt, and he put a couple of shots on him. If you had the same fight, Yamasaki or I forget what his name is, Keith Peterson, you know, not saying that, you know, some of their early stoppages were justified, but they tend to stop the fight a little bit premature. And I think that would have got stopped depending on, you know, if you had some referees like that. And people say they make fair calls. So I don't know. I think Oliveira should probably work on his boxing going forward because I don't think that he's going to be able to Chandler needs to work on his cardio and working on being a five-round fighter. I agree. Right. As far as his submission defense, it looked immaculate. The fact that he was able to not get – the fact that Chandler took his back and he did not submit him, I feel like was huge. You know, if a guy like McGregor was in that situation, he would have got choked out. You know, and I don't even – I'm not even sure he would have been able to defend the submission in the initial position, never mind, you know, getting into the choke and not tapping. McGregor taps almost instantly. You know, he doesn't – it's just true. Yeah, it's kind of sad, honestly. He taps so quick, you know, and when you compare him to a guy like Ferguson, you know, what we saw with Ferguson and Dariush. Like, Ferguson, any guy in the UFC is going to tap from that. Ferguson doesn't. You know, he's like the complete opposite of McGregor. He ain't tapping. You know what I mean? Ferguson ain't tapping. He's not letting you knock him out. You know, the fight with Gaethje, I think it was a doctor stoppage. I think his corner didn't let him go out. But I think if it was up to Ferguson, he would have kept fighting. There's no quitting that guy. You know, so that's just the thing. Chandler, great submission defense, but he needs to work on cardio and being a five-round fighter because he's going to be in title fights more often. He can't just be – I think he should slow down in the first round. Stop trying to go for the early knockout. I think he needs to preserve his power and try to pick his shots because he can still – you can still use your power and spread out your shots. You don't need to just throw out all your energy in the first round. Like, I feel like he can still be as dangerous, you know. I think because you're still going to have your power, and especially if you hold back a little bit, you're going to surprise guys, you know, in the third round when you've been kind of playing it a little bit slower, and then you land a big shot, and they're really hurt in the third round. Guys are going to, you know, especially from what they've seen from him, they're going to expect him to slow down. But if he could take, like, 6 months off, work on cardio, come back, be like a, you know, 3-4-5-round fighter, even if he could fight a full 3 rounds, I think he'll be good to be a 4- and 5-round fighter. But, yeah, come back 6 months, you know, work on cardio and just start the fight off a little bit slower. You know, he doesn't need to be explosive. You can still have power without being that explosive. You know, you don't need to throw out all of your energy in the first round. So that's what I saw with Chandler. With Oliveira, his chin looks suspect. I'm not sure how he's going to do against guys like Gaethje or McGregor or Poirier. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to take a good shot from any of those guys. His chin, he was really hurt right away. The first time that his chin got touched by Chandler, he was visibly hurt, and I thought it was over. I thought Chandler was the first round knockout. And that's what I had predicted too. Even though I won money on Oliveira, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, that's what I think. That's what I thought of the fight.
Yeah, I like your idea of slowing down in the first round because, once again, you are fighting the best of the best, and you're a top five guy. So that means that 9 times out of 10, you're going to be in the main event. You'll either be in the main event or the co-main event, which, depending on the UFC, could be a five-round fight too. So I like your idea of slowing down. I think Oliveira shows some toughness, you know, but at the same time, I think he'll probably be a little bit smarter when it comes to taking shots. Sometimes you got to give a shot. You got to take a shot to be able to give one or to get a position that you like. So I liked everything about his fight except what you said that, you know, you can't take unanswered shots. But I still like the refereeing in that fight. I think any ref, depending on the experience level of the ref, maybe a younger ref may have stopped it. But when you get those experienced guys in there, guys or girls in there, they're gonna have more leeway. So, but hey man, Oliveira, he the champ. Who you think he fights next?
So I'm thinking Oliveira. I mean, honestly, I think the stars are aligning for him to fight the winner, and I don't. Neither one of us will be too thrilled, but I think the stars are pretty much aligned, and the timing is pretty much aligned. Dana was talking a lot about timing when he talked about that title fight, and I'm sure Dana loves the timing of this Poirier-McGregor trilogy coming up in July. So I think what they'll try to do is just have Oliveira fight whoever wins that, even if it's McGregor. I think they'll go with whoever wins that. Even though I feel like if Poirier wins it, you know, he deserves to fight Oliveira anyways, you know, being on a three-fight win streak. But if McGregor wins it, I don't think that he would deserve that fight, but I do think that the UFC would give it to him anyways. just for winning the trilogy and the shock value of it. So, yeah, that's what I think. Whoever wins that, I think, will be next. And then, you know, I think the fights to make are probably, you know, Ferguson versus I like him versus, like, probably a non-ranked guy at this point. I don't even want to really see him fight a top 15 guy. I think he should fight somebody, you know, non-ranked to try to get his confidence back, because I just feel like he's been beaten up pretty bad in his last three, and I don't even know how he would fare against some of these, like, you know, lower top 15 guys, you know what I'm saying? Because you still have killers there. I mean, you have Islam there. You have Kevin Lee there, who almost beat Ferguson before. You have Drew Dober there. You have Dariush there, who's probably going to move up soon. You know, so it's not like he would have an easy go. You have Gillespie there, so it's not like he would have an easy go. You know, I don't think that makes it too much easier for him. So that's what I want to see with that. And, yeah, I think Oliveira fights the winner of that July 10th vote.
All right. I tend to agree with you, but I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in it. I think that the UFC will probably – well, I know the UFC will probably go with the winner of the Poirier-Conor fight as Oliveira's first title defense. But I think if Conor wins, then Gaethje should get the shot. I know Gaethje lost to Khabib, but – I still think Gaethje should get the shot. I want to say Gaethje is ranked number 2 right now behind Poirier. Beneil is ranked number 3, Chandler 4, Conor 5. So, I can't help but agree with your premise that the winner of the Poirier, McGregor, is going to get the first title shot. But I think if Conor wins, I think the UFC will probably, Dana White will probably be like, let's throw Gaethje in there. But Conor is a draw, so that's one thing that I can't take away from the guy. He is a draw. But I think Gaethje would be more deserving than him. As far as Ferguson, man, I just don't know, man. I just don't know what's going on with him. He couldn't defend the takedown in this fight against Beneil. He couldn't protect himself against Gaethje in his stand-up. So it's like, he just don't look like the same guy to me. As far as his next fight, I'm looking at the rankings, man, and he's at number 6 on UFC.com. And guys under him are RDA, Dan Hooker, Paul Felder, Islam, Gillespie, and Lee. I will probably try to do Ferguson versus Hooker. And everybody know I'm not a fan of Dan Hooker. I would probably do that fight, or maybe Ferguson versus Felder. Islam is number 10. I know a lot of people have been calling for that fight, but I wouldn't do that one. I would probably give him a guy within the top 10. So it's either going to be Ferguson versus Hooker or Ferguson versus Felder. But man, my confidence in Tony Ferguson has waned very, 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 very far. I just don't recognize him in the octagon anymore. I don't see the fiery style he used to fight with. And him not to be able to get back to his feet after being taken down, that was definitely worrisome also. But I don't see him fighting for the belt anytime soon. I don't even see him being in the title picture anytime soon. So, like I said last week, if he was to lose, what would he be? And I think now we can actually officially say Tony Ferguson is a gatekeeper. And that's sad to say.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, you see, you know, more like up in, you know, lower ranked guys, up and coming, you know, lightweight, you know, guys that aren't in the title picture trying to get the fight with Ferguson. And it kind of reminds me of the way Cowboy is now. Like, Cowboy is just a name that, you know, Cowboy is just a name that people want to make a name off of. It's not really a fight that I feel like people feel challenged by. Like, I feel like they come in and they know they can beat him. Like, I don't really think they feel challenged. It's not like, oh, I'd be, you know, honored to match wits. Like, it's, I don't think that's really how they feel. Like, I feel like they just know they can win it. And I think that's becoming the same case with Ferguson. You know, I think I saw Ali on Twitter, and of course he's Islam's manager, and, you know, he was tweeting at Ferguson, you know, saying that Islam wants that fight and, you know, he'll be ready and all this. And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, can you guys stop, like, beating the dead horse? Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, you guys want to make a name off somebody who's on a 3-fight losing streak. Like, how much stock does it really give you to beat a guy like that? Like, he literally looks, he looks like a shell of his former self right now. Like, his striking, no, but I will say this. Speaking of his striking, I will say this. First of all, it's pathetic that Ali and Islam calling out Ferguson when he's on a 3-fight losing streak. I don't think that that's impressive to get that win at this stage. I don't think it's the same as it was a year ago to beat Ferguson. That was my point on that. Point two is, I will say this. Ferguson's boxing did look good to me. It did look good to me. I do think that out of all things in that fight, I think Ferguson was winning the striking exchanges. And maybe, you know, some people don't want to admit that because it's hard to, you know, it's hard to, from such a bad performance overall from Ferguson, you know, from being dominated, you know, on the mat where Dariush had like 12 and a half minutes or so control time out of a 15-minute fight, you know, it's hard to really pick out anything good that Ferguson did. But I definitely think Ferguson's striking looked better. And what I mean by specifically was his head movement. So in most fights, you see Ferguson taking a lot of damage. You know, his thing was always, you know, take a shot to give a shot. But he wasn't on that in this fight. Because what I saw in the opening rounds, before Dariush took him down, and at the start of the rounds when there would be, you know, the small striking exchange before the takedown, is Dariush couldn't find Ferguson. He really couldn't find Ferguson when the striking exchanges. He was swinging for the fences. And Ferguson's head movement looked so good. You got to go back. If you didn't see it, I think you should go back and watch the fight again. If anybody didn't see what I'm talking about, go watch Ferguson move his head while Dariush is trying to strike with him in the early minutes of the fight. And you just see Dariush missing left and right. Ferguson was way different than he used to be. He used to just walk forward on guys like a zombie and just take all the punches. And he loved getting hit. That fight did not look like the same guy that loved getting hit. So I will say that while he is getting dominated by grapplers, and I don't think he should fight Islam, I do think as far as the striking, working with Freddie Roach, it shows. It shows. The fact that he's been working with different and with actual, like, you know, legendary boxing coaches, I think the work is starting to show. That's one good thing I will say about Ferguson.
Actually, I totally agree. And I think that's why Dariush resorted to taking him down so much, because he couldn't hit him and he was getting hit. And Beneil said, nope, I can't do it. If I don't take him down, he's just going to piece me up the whole fight. And I thought that was a very smart game plan. I thought that was his game plan going into the fight anyway. Because Beneil isn't a big striker, but he's very technical on the ground. So, but I totally agree, man. I thought Tony's stand-up game, I would probably give him an 8 out of 10 in his stand-up game. But your stand-up game is negated if you can't get back to your feet. And he couldn't get back to his feet. And I think that's one thing about the old Tony is that he could do it both on the mat and on his feet when he was on his 12-fight win streak. He could get taken down, get back up, or he'll take you down and keep you down and pound you. But now I just don't see his scramble game. His scramble game is non-existent.
And now this is another question I want to ask you. Who should Ferguson fight? Because at this point, I think he should keep working with Freddie Roach, because I think his head movement looks so good, and I think that's something that's an advantage that he would have over a lot of these, you know, striking heavy fighters in the lightweight division. So one thing about that is, as far as the top 15, I think a lot of guys would be missing, wouldn't be able to find him with the way that he's been, you know, with the way his head movement was. And that's only a couple months into working with Freddie Roach. He's only like 5 months into it. You know, I can imagine how his boxing is going to look a year into it. You know what I mean? By the end of this year, I can imagine, you know, the improvements that he's going to have made, you know, and the shots that he'll be landing, you know, at that point, or even in the year and a half point, you know, a year from now. Who knows? But do you think that he should try to rotate camps, try to, like, you know, maybe start, like, training with, like, some of these guys that are more like wrestling heavy and train with Freddie Roach? Like, you gotta mix it in.
You know what I would do if I was him? And boy, this would probably be tough for Tony to do, but I would train with Freddie with my striking game, and I would probably try to get with Khabib's camp. With the
AKA,
Khabib's camp.
I would try to get with them
as far as the ground game. If you could mesh those two together, I see him springing himself back into the title picture. If he could do those two, not just springing himself back into the title picture, I see him winning the title.
Yeah, and that just gave me the chills, bro. That just gave me the chills, bro, because it was crazy, because that was the exact thought I had. Like, you know, that thought had crossed my mind before, but then once you said that, you were like, I think, you know, I said, should he mix it up? I wasn't going to suggest anybody. I was just going to try to see who you were going to say. But then once I thought about it, the first camp I thought was like, I was like, okay, nah, he's not going to go train with Jackson or Wink. I was like, he should train with AKA. And then you were like, this is going to be hard for Tony to do. And I was like, oh, man, he's about to say AKA. And then he said it, man. I was like, oh, we had great minds think alike, bro.
But the thing is you got to make your weakness, turn your weakness into a strength, especially in the UFC. You got to turn your weakness into a strength. Everybody see now that Freddie Roach has improved his ground attack. But the wrestling sucks. So, like you said, you need to start intertwining both. But you work with Freddie with the stand-up, and you find another grappling training camp that can help you with that part. And the best of the best is Khabib and them, man. Or he could go to D.C.
I like it, man. I like it. I think that's a good idea, man. I really think it is. I think that would be, you know, that would be probably one of the most craziest things that has ever happened, like, in history, like, of the UFC. I don't think anything would ever be more, like, shocking to the core fans than that. And can you imagine if Ferguson would have trained at AKA, and not only he's training with Cormier and he's training with Luke Rockhold, and like and Darren Wynn, you know, all these really good wrestlers, you know. But imagine him actually having Khabib, and they train. Can you imagine? Imagine Khabib. Imagine they came out on Instagram, and you see training footage of Ferguson grappling with Khabib. Can you imagine? how that would just blow up. I feel like Twitter servers would shut down. The MMA Twitter servers would break. Twitter would explode.
I think they will probably, most likely, if that was to happen, they will make sure that nobody was recording. Phones will probably be left at the front desk. They will probably black out the windows. That footage should never get released, dog. But I would love to be a fly on the wall, though.
Man, that's a pride thing, though. Damn, that was a bar right there. That was a pride thing, UFC pride thing. So that would be a pride thing, you know, for the two of them. Ferguson in his ego, you know, he wouldn't want to have his ego hurt by people seeing that he's actually training with Khabib, and maybe they're friends now. And I don't really see the point of why they don't do that, because if Khabib's actually retired, you guys aren't going to fight.
What's
There's
the
no
big,
point.
Yeah, what's
I
the big deal?
I just don't see what's the big point of, you know, Ferguson was saying, you know, at the pre-fight press conference, you know, Khabib's a bitch and all this stuff, and he went running and all that. And it's like, I don't know why he's still trying to chase that fight. You know, Khabib already, you know, you guys tried to fight like 4 or 5 times. It fell through every single time. You know, the gods didn't want it to happen, clearly. And then Khabib actually retired. He's done. You know, he's not coming back for any fight. I really don't see him coming back unless, like, they get him the GSP fight. I could see him possibly coming back for that. But that's really it. I don't think, you know, I think that feud is kind of over, man. And I don't really think that it would really matter for either of them if they were to become friends. I don't see why not. I think Khabib could actually help Ferguson. If you mesh those two styles together with Freddie Roach helping you with your boxing and Khabib helping you with your grappling defense, you know, if he would have touched, imagine Ferguson would start training Sambo and he adds the Sambo into that new boxing help that he has, he would be a problem. He would be an absolute problem.
Yeah, man. The Khabib Ferguson thing ain't gonna happen. So, but even if it did happen, Darius, he couldn't even do nothing against Beneil Dariuso, and Beneil not even in the same league at grappling as damn Khabib. So, I wouldn't want to see Tony fight Khabib. Because he couldn't even get to his feet against their Beneil. So, I'm good on that fight.
I mean, we realize now that we probably didn't even need to see that fight from the beginning. We realized that, you know, if we did get that fight, maybe there was a reason why the fight got blocked so many times. Because if it actually did happen, and we would have seen Ferguson on his back, he would have got dominated way worse than we actually thought it was going to be. And a lot of us thought that Ferguson would, you know, was a lot better off his back. But, I mean, we didn't really see him on his back too much, you know, in his recent fights. If you really look at it, I mean, he fought mostly guys that were just going to stand up with him. I mean, Pettis stood up with him. Cowboy stood up with him. Kevin Lee stood up with him for the most part. I think Kevin Lee might have shot like once or twice, but I feel like there was mainly striking exchanges, and Kevin Lee actually had him mounted when he did, you know, at one point in the fight. But, you know, mainly if you look at the guys Ferguson had fought as of recent, they were mainly guys that, you know, were going to strike with him. He really didn't have guys that were shooting at his legs like that, you know. Who did he fight? I mean, Barboza, you know, was not going to shoot at his legs. You know, none of these guys that he fought recent. Can you think of a guy that Ferguson fought in his last maybe 10 fights that was like a big wrestler?
Damn, that's a good question, bro. I mean,
and that's what's kind of crazy about it, is that we didn't even really realize that, because we're over here saying, you know, Ferguson fights so good off his back, you know, to try to like promote the Khabib fight, the Khabib and Ferguson fight. We, you know, that was the narrative that a lot of us were spinning. But, like, what did we really have to go off of recently? Like, when had we seen that? You know, we might have seen him on his back only a few times. He was on his back in the Kevin Lee fight. That was the last time I remember seeing him on his back. You know, and he was kind of in trouble in that fight.
Yeah,
he was kind of in trouble at one point when he was on his back. Kevin Lee TKO'd him, I think. You know, Ferguson just kind of, I think he kind of scrambled out of the position. But, you know, I just don't know who he fought recently that was a big wrestler. Or grappler. I just don't know. And then Dariush was probably, you know, the biggest test of that, and Oliveira was, you know, those two guys I feel like were, you know, a big step up from guys he'd been fighting in terms of the grappling. He really had been fighting guys that were mainly going to strike with him.
Yeah, I think he probably did fight a lot of one-trick ponies during that 12-fight win streak, but as me and you talked about, MMA has switched. One-trick ponies don't last long in MMA, bro. If you're a one-trick pony, your career in the MMA will be short-lived because you will get exposed. So everybody say Derrick Lewis is a one-trick pony, but every time Derrick Lewis get taken down, in some way, form, or fashion, he gets back to his feet without taking punishment. Except in a DC fight. So, yeah, man, I think he fought a lot of guys that stood up.
And you know what? We don't have too much time left, so I want to get to two things real quick. One, did you see that Derrick Lewis actually knocked a guy out that was trying to break into his car?
What?
Yeah, that just happened. It was like either yesterday or the day before. So they got. I think the MacLife posted it. It happened in real life. Derrick Lewis. So some guy was trying to break into Derrick Lewis's car, and then it came out. They said Derrick Lewis knocked the guy out, and then it was Derrick Lewis posted a video on the MacLife channel, and he was on video, and you see the police in the background. You know, they're not, like, with him, but they're, like, on the other side of the street. And then he pans to the car, and you can see, like, he shows his car door. It's, like, all, like, almost looked like it was smashed in a little bit. And then he turns it back to him, and he was like, this dude tried to break in my shit.
God,
I guess he knocked him up.
Yeah, I'm Googling it now.
I was like, damn, Derrick Lewis is a superhero, man. This dude's a beast.
Yeah, because did he do something? Somebody tried to rob a Popeyes or something? And he ended up like, man, hey, don't mess around with Derrick Lewis, people.
And when they had that hurricane in Houston a couple years back, Derrick Lewis,
he was trying to go out to save people.
Yeah, they caught him out on the beach. Someone got him on their camera phone. They had Derrick Lewis out there going into the huge, you know, the high water, taking people out of the water. He was throwing people on his shoulder and getting them back out to land.
Man, that's crazy, bro.
You see it?
Derrick Lewis shows moment car thief is arrested on Instagram. I'm gonna have to go to YouTube. Yeah, but they say he knocked that motherfucker out. Man, I know that dude was like, man, come on, dog. All the cars I tried to steal today, I tried to steal an MMA guy car. Oh my God, that's just funny.
Yeah, man. Derrick Lewis is trying to prep for his Ngannou fight. He's trying to prep for his Ngannou fight, so he had to knock that guy out. I think that's what his mentality was.
Man, that's just insane.
I'm surprised you didn't hear about that.
Man. No, I didn't. I actually was something had popped up on my phone yesterday. Derrick Lewis was at the top, but I didn't even read the caption, and that's probably what it was.
Oh, and actually, you know what? There's another one that just posted it 5 minutes ago. MMA Island has a picture of the guy that Derrick Lewis knocked out. I guess he's a rapper. His name is King Watts.
Oh, my God.
It says Derrick Lewis knocked out rapper King Watts after he tried to break into his car. And then it has a tweet from Derrick Lewis, and he says, I think Derrick Lewis posted the picture of him. I think he knew him. I think he knew him, like, from his area, because he said, this the motherfucker that tried to break into my van and got fucked up. I can find anyone in Houston and shake as gangster.
Wow.
I'm going to send this pic to you right now so you can read it.
Wow.
I just texted you it.
Oh, man, that's crazy, dog. All right, man, we got like a couple minutes left, man. Let's jump into this Cody Garbrandt fight.
So we'll talk more about that next time, but maybe we can get on during the weekend when Evan's back or something like that. But I just want to do it just real quick. Who you got in the fight, man? What's your prediction? Cody Garbrandt versus Rob Font.
I know everybody's betting on Rob Font, even me. I think Rob Font can win this fight. But one thing Rob Font has to be wary of in this fight is leaving himself open to be counterpunched by Cody. If he doesn't connect, he has to still protect himself against a counterpunching Cody Garbrandt. We all know Garbrandt is a good striker, but he has suspect defense. And what I mean by that is when he throws punches, he forgets to defend himself. So Rob Font can take advantage of that, especially with left and right hooks. I like Font in this fight, but Font has to defend himself against Cody's counterpunching, or he could find himself night-night as well. I'm going to take Font in a third-round knockout against Cody Garbrandt.
All right, and this is what I'm going with. So I think Garbrandt's gonna come out, and he's gonna come out strong in the first round. You know, I think he's gonna look good in the first round. I think he's been training hard. I think he just saw the birth of his child too. I think a second, something like that. I think he just had a daughter. Maybe I might be off with that. But I think he's been training hard. Cody's gonna come out strong in the first round. I think they'll have some good striking exchanges there. I think ideally, if Cody wants to win the fight and he's serious about winning the fight, I think he needs to use his wrestling versus Font. He needs to mix the striking with the wrestling if he's serious about winning this fight, because I see no way in hell that he beats Rob Font in a straight striking match. I just don't see it happening. I really think that's a very unlikely scenario. And actually, what I believe will happen, even though this is a 5-round fight, Rob Font is gonna Cody's gonna come out a bit confident in the second round, because maybe he wins the first round. He might look pretty good in the first round. I think he probably wins the first round in a pretty close round, and then he comes out a little confident in the second round, and then that confidence makes him revert back to his old ways, and he loads up on that right hand again, or makes some kind of mistake, and Rob Font capitalizes on that. And stops Cody in the second round, probably within the first 2 minutes of the second round, Rob Font will TKO Garbrandt.
So we both got Font winning this weekend. Okay. Wow. I think we both like Rob Font, and I think Rob Font's style and Cody's style leads to whoever wins winning by knockout. But I think Rob Font defends himself a little more than Cody does. And that's why I'm going with Font.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good fight. I'm really happy Matthews is going to get one this weekend. We're going to get a big win this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And we went a couple minutes over, but, you know, I'm glad we got to get to so many different topics in this show. I think it went really well. Like I said, you know, like I always say, thank you to anybody who listens or who's ever listened before. Evan wasn't here tonight. Shout out to Evan. You know, he'll be back for the next one. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Stay safe. And, have an extra beer when that main event starts because Massachusetts is about to take one home, baby. Let's get it.
Maybe our next show, me and Keys might do something special for you guys. We might have a debate show on next Wednesday. Me and Keys have been talking about it. That's how we met. We might just do a 5-show debate. Might have Evan be the moderator, and me and Keys might do that for you guys next Wednesday. We'll think about it. So just stay tuned. And once again, everybody be safe. Take care of yourself. I know a lot of cities are opening up. Denver's opening up. Still protect yourself. Practice social distancing. Wash your hands. I'm still wearing my mask. Around people, but, you know, that's just me. Once again, the vaccine is a personal decision. Do what you feel is right for you, your body, your family. With that being said, Lee Keys and Evan signing out. Everybody have a great evening. Have a great weekend. Take care. And as always, in closing the show, positive people with positive energy, yield positive results. And we always end with a